Welcome to Sustainable Talks with NNN, Nicolo Giusti and
Niccolo Duranti,
where we talk about sustainability in the fashion supply chain.
We interview the best players in fashion and challenge them to the real full sustainability.
From material suppliers to factories, designers, sustainable association, and more. We want to make clarity if a fashion can be sustainable or not.
This podcast is sponsored by ourselves and no one else with our time, experience and fun.
We hope you have fun to listen to us and spread the word.
You can find us also in Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, Facebook, LinkedIn and Twitter.
Just search us as Sustainable Talks with NNN and you will find us.
Have fun!
The big reason why we chose wood waste as our feedstock, because it's in huge abundance, practically free, and that would allow us to be really price competitive.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back finally to Sustainable Talks with NNN. After a long time, I'm part of the NNN already back, and Nico, I hope, will join back soon. He's busy now with other schedule, with other daily urgency stuff. But I'm very excited to be back today with a new guest and talking again about dye stuff, black dye stuff with Jane. Jane is our friend today that will guide us into this new world. So Jane, welcome to Sustainable Talks with NNN. Thank you for joining. We are connected from Amsterdam to Los Angeles, and we spoke a few days ago, and I was very excited about your concept and the structure of your innovation, sustainable black dye stuff. But first of all, I would like to ask you, Jade, to give us a small introduction of yourself, also telling us what is for you sustainability.
I'm Jane. My background is in pigment and dyes, mainly for textiles. So I've worked in pigments and dyes for about 20 years. I love it very much. I'm also a serial entrepreneur. So before Nature Coatings, that was a dye house based here in Los Angeles. And we were using only existing plant and insect dyes, beautiful and romantic and old, you know, thousands of years old. But what we found is that for our customers and the type of impact I wanted to create, they are not very scalable. So I decided several years ago that I really wanted to develop a very high performing, cost competitive, bio-based pigment. So when we talk about sustainability, like you just asked, what does sustainability mean to me? It means so many different things, you know, but the approach that we take is we have eliminated petrochemicals and petroleum-based products and derivatives entirely from our product. So I'm very interested in renewable sources. I'm a little obsessed with trash. I think there's so much waste being made in the world and that has so much value. Our product starts with a pre-consumer industrial waste, wood waste, from the lumber and timber and paper industry. We measure impact in a couple different ways through CO2 emission reduction and then also through health. So we talk a lot about planet health and environmental health, but what about the health for us? And so one of the problems with petroleum-based products, particularly pigments, is that they contain carcinogens. And those are, you know, there's people working with those every day, but also we are touching those things every day. So it was really important for me to eliminate those carcinogens from our product and also start with renewable waste streams for our inputs.
You touch several points, also be already touching our talk. We had once Anna Melorella from Tintoria di Quaregna. She also works natural dye stuff, but also you touch on the topic of using the waste. We also had Hannes from Thumat, and these guys created an alternative material, polyurethane material with a certain percentage of apple waste. And he was the first one starting to use the agricultural waste to do a material. I have one question, Jane, here. Why black is so important in the dyeing industry?
Black is everywhere. You know, it's the most important color in fashion. I've heard estimates that it's up to 30% fashion is black. It was important for me to tackle the biggest challenge.
But going a little bit more on the technical detail. So this is if I'm not wrong, this is a pigment, right? Still a pigment, what you make. Can you tell us a little bit more, how is it made? I mean, and how we can use this pigment? Can we use it for textile? Can we use for leather? Can we use, I don't know, for other materials, alternative materials, and so on?
Our main input is wood waste. It's all FSC certified wood waste. We wanted a fully traceable source material. Right now, it's estimated that 50 million tons of wood waste is created every year in the US alone. And they're burning the wood waste and they're landfilling the ash. And that burning process is creating millions of tons of CO2, and then they're taking up landfill space. It's kind of a perfect product for us because we can prevent that burning and put it into our manufacturing process. We put it into a closed loop manufacturing system. The only byproducts are steam, which is released from the water and the wood, and we can capture that to boil, use for boilers in our factory. The other byproduct is biogas. So we can capture that biogas and use it to power our equipment. So we're not burning the wood. I want to be really clear about that because that does create a lot of CO2 and we're not doing that. Instead, we're just using a proprietary process that does use heat but does not burn the wood. Our pigment is considered carbon negative.
What does it mean, carbon negative? Here, when you say something like this, people are like, negative?
Well, as soon as a tree is cut, it starts to release CO2. By taking that wood waste and converting it into pigment, we prevent that CO2 emission. And so we're actually sequestering more carbon CO2 within the pigment than would be released. And then additionally, in comparison to petroleum-based carbon black is made by literally burning fossil fuels, petroleum. And that process releases way more CO2 than pigment is actually made. For every kilo of pigment made, 2.38 kilos of CO2 is generated.
And where can we use it?
We can use it for potentially everything. Our product is a suitable replacement for almost every application. Because my background is in textiles and apparel, that's where we started. We're working with very large mills doing printing, coating, screen printing, rotary printing, and all different types of coating. And it can be applied to almost any substrate. So we're working with fabric manufacturers, leather manufacturers, non-leather, vegan leather.
So you can make all happy, how to call it?
We call it bio black.
Can we mix with other color?
Yes, we can.
Yeah, that's nice because when you think about black dyeing, then a lot of people think like, okay, that's only black. You always, almost always use black for creating any color. It's not always the dominant color. But there's always need of having a little bit of black to make color dark. Now, I think more and more people are asking, where is the waste coming from? How do you make sure that your raw material is really a waste and you can trace that?
Well, the FSC certification process, so they're on top of it. They do constant audits. It's really challenging to get that certification. They make sure that it's a very thorough process.
Certification at this level, a very important corporate company that needs for sure certification when you sell a product out there, I think is a must to have a backup behind. The question we always do in our talks, and we had a lot of mixed opinion, I have to say, on that, is that how a certification are then enough, not to claim the sustainability.
Certifications offer a baseline. I do think certifications are becoming more strict and more serious and less greenwashed. I do think in the past and maybe in the present too, there's probably some certifications where there's not a very thorough, real check on what's really going on. They can't just ban everything, right? Or else we would have no clothes, basically. But they're starting somewhere and they're incrementally becoming more restrictive. And they're allowing entrepreneurs like myself an opportunity to create something better. We actually always go above and beyond. So we have all kinds of lab reports showing, okay, look, you know, there's this passes for children's toys, which is actually the strictest in Europe, passes for 100% bio-based, and it has no detected PAHs or the carcinogens to show our customers, look, we've gone beyond these certification levels too, if you're interested in that information.
This gives a credibility and show your ambition, no? That's not just try to get the benchmark, but really going beyond that and really always looking for what's next, because maybe that certification won't be enough tomorrow, or it will be updated. As you said, they are updating continuously. Let's wait for governments and regulation that will come in the fashion industry. Between 1 and 2 years, probably the scenario will be very different. A couple of quick things, Jay, I wanted to ask you, maybe in terms of price, is difficult to compete with the mass production.
In terms of price, we have actually matched our price exactly to information that a printing mill gave us, that they are paying for carbon black. So it's really important to us to also match the price that the industry is using. And again, that just goes into my background in textiles, because brands and mills adopt new products based on price and performance. And the kind of cherry on top is sustainability. Even though that's becoming more important, it really does come down to price and performance. And so before we started even developing a black pigment, we had those types of boundaries around it. So that was a big reason why we chose wood waste as our feedstock, because it's in huge abundance, practically free. And that would allow us to be really price competitive.
And the last question I want to conclude, Jane, is of course, if we all use the bio black, the fashion industry would be more sustainable. But as it is still one of the most polluting industry out there, how do you think the fashion industry can be more sustainable in the next years?
I think it's so important to be incremental, meaning one step at a time. If every brand can just adopt one step forward, that would make a huge difference, because then the next year they can take one more step, and the next year they can take another step. I think that just is the way it has to be. I think any brand who's waiting for a complete silver bullet package instead of taking one step forward is really missing out, because essentially there's so many different new technologies out there. And once we can get creative and start to combine them, we can make that full package. But one solution, whether it's a recycled fiber or a bio-black pigment, you know, you just have to take that one step with one thing, and then you can then start to incorporate more. I think it's super important. We're not going to finish the race without the run. You know what I mean? Yeah. There's a big thing in the middle that we have to do. A journey of 1,000 miles starts with one step.
And this is our first step of the first episode of this third season. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much, Jane, to bring us into this bio black world. I hope our guest also will love this and will comment. Keep on doing, and congratulations for your project.
If you make it till the end of this video, I have a great surprise for you. I'm starting a sustainable academy for students, entrepreneurs, and corporate to help you to clean greenwash. There is a community around of people passionate about sustainability that really want to make it happen. Join us. Write me an email with motivation, and you will be part of our community.
If you like this episode and you would like to learn more about fashion and sustainability, check out the Sustainable Academy, a community of people like me and like you that like fashion and sustainability, and they want to clean the greenwash. Sustainableacademy.org